All-Star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Drive Time with DeRussia is on the air. It is good to be with you on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us here on CCO. It is Jason. I am in the basement studio underneath the stairs in the style of Harry Potter. Where before we went on the air, I finally hung the foam acoustical tiles, Dan. You know, it's a little echoey down here.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, anybody in a suburban house knows that closet underneath the stairs that goes to the basement. And it's, you know, kind of a sloped, small closet. I put a story showing it on my Instagram account, at DeRussia J. But, you know, like a typical, I don't know, I've talked about becoming my father before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is something my dad would do. Take the foam acoustical tiles that I bought probably a year ago to outfit the basement studio and start hanging them up 40 minutes before you do your show.
Seems perfectly reasonable to me.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully it sounds a little better down here than normal. I don't know. It certainly smells like adhesive glue. So at any point, I could just, you know, once those glue aromas really kick in, this show's really going to be magical. You know what I mean?
And it is a Friday.
Right.
And 420 is tomorrow. So let's go.
420 is tomorrow. We're huffing glue this afternoon. I don't recommend it. Do not. Don't take this as some sort of permission. But we are in the basement here because Alyssa and I are going to a fundraiser tonight. Okay. Some of you think I'm in the basement all the time, which is funny. Like, people ask me that often. Like, oh, what's it like doing the show from home? How often am I down here, Dan?
I mean, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Like five, six weeks, something like that?
Yeah, so it's good to, I don't know, put the equipment to the test as well in case something should happen. All right, let's start with the fact that today a guy set himself on fire in front, outside of the trial of Donald Trump. And if that isn't just the symbol of America today, I don't know what else is. But I've been thinking a lot about that trial. We've been through jury selection, and I'm not thinking about it in the context of Donald Trump and whether or not he's guilty or whether or not I think that's a significant, you know, is the prosecution fair? Is it unfair? Is it politically motivated? All of the things that people are talking about. But I've been thinking quite a bit about the role of a jury. I have never been called for jury duty in my life. And there's, you know, I feel a little left out about that. I would like to be on a jury. I would like to serve my civic duty. I'm fascinated by the process. And also, I am scared to death to be on a jury because of just how intensely crazy people are in this country. And imagine being on a jury judging a former president. The judge did decide that this jury should remain anonymous, and this has come after after a number of media members have sort of gone through some of the biographical details about these jurors, and to the point where it's not that difficult to identify who they are. I don't know if people know that, generally speaking, jurors are public. It's not a secret. And why would it be? You're in a public courtroom. You're sitting right there. I do think it might be time, for safety reasons, to have, during the trial at least, all jurors be anonymous. And I go back and forth on the public interest as to whether or not we should have a right to know who a juror is or not. Here's my question for you at 651-461-9226. In today's climate, it's two questions. One, Do you agree with me? Do you think juries should be anonymous? Two, are you nervous to serve on a high-profile jury? I think about some of the trials that we've had, and often it's trials of a police officer that end up being super high-profile. And during the Derek Chauvin trial, that jury was anonymous. But juries in America haven't always been anonymous. The first anonymous jury in the United States was in 1977, according to the New York Times. So it's pretty recent. It was a guy who was a drug kingpin on trial. The lawyers in that case weren't even allowed to know the identities of the jurors. 651-461-9226. I got to say, watching the way that jury selection has gone in the Trump trial, I think most Americans would find it gross. The prosecutors, the defense team poring over the social media profiles. They made one woman read the tweets that she had sent about Donald Trump to the court with Donald Trump sitting there. I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't make you want to be showing up for court and to be a juror. 651-461-9226. That is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Would you want to be a juror in a high profile case? And do you think jurors should be anonymous? My position on this has changed because if you allow jurors to be completely anonymous, you do leave open the possibility for shenanigans, right? People who lie to get on a jury. Maybe people with an interest in the case that you'd never really be able to expose unless you knew who the jurors were. Certainly in a Trump case, I think about this. It's like, man, would I want to be on a jury judging Donald Trump at all? Dan, you and I talked about this a little bit the other day.
Yeah.
Where you said you didn't think you would be able to be objective.
Just in the sense that I've heard way too much about the case.
Yeah,
how do you separate
too much about the case.
What's going on in the courtroom versus what I've heard and read and studied and all the stuff in the media. So just in preparation for the show, it just would make me a bad juror.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, and I mean, just to your question, I mean, the way that you've seen people be outed, the way people have been attacked on social media, had cable news hosts go after them. No way would I want to be anywhere near being part of this jury.
Right. I mean, someone's going to come after you. Like, no matter what the verdict is someone going to come to one of these people's houses? Probably.
I mean, I would guess, right?
651-461-9226. Jim and Isanti is first up on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Jim, what do you think about this? Would you want to be on a high-profile jury like this?
Well, actually, Jason, I mean, I want to say thank you because I appreciate your effort and I've followed you since you were on WCCO TV.
Thank you, Jim.
And I feel your camaraderie, but yes, I live in Isanti, and I'm going to be 70 years old this year, and I've had the privilege of serving on the federal court jury duty in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm looking actually out the garage right now. I'm looking at the plaque that I was awarded for participating, and I feel that it's not only your duty, but I was amazed at the people that have interest in this. And I told the judge, I said, hey, I said, if you want me to be a full-time juror, I'm there. I'm your man. I will do it.
Yeah, my mom served on a federal court on a grand jury in Chicago. And she had to do it for, I think it was a month. And she loved it and hated it, right? Like, it was, you get exposed to some of the types of cases, but it was very educational. And I think it gives you a new respect for inside the system. I just worry about, like, how crazy people are at, you know, the fact that people disagree with an opinion and come after a juror, you know?
It's crazy, and it will happen. I mean, let's face it, this is America. With America broadening into the horizon that we're going into now, who knows what our fate should be. And that's why we have to be aware of that.
Yeah. Good point. Jim, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening and the nice words. I appreciate that. 651-461-9226. Lots of text coming in on the stylesfinancial.com text line. Jason, the fact a guy started himself on fire today outside the building would make me think twice about exposing myself. Yeah. I don't know what the right way to do this is, right? I do think juries should be anonymous, and maybe you make it maybe in 6 months after the verdict. You say, okay, then we could make it exposed. We'll talk about how it worked out during the Chauvin trial. Love your input. Do you think jurors should be anonymous? And how do you feel about being on a jury of a high-profile case right now? We have a state trooper who has been charged with his culpability, kind of an unintentional homicide, something like that, second-degree homicide. That will be a very high-profile case. Would you want to be on that jury? I don't know, man. I'm hesitant if everything about me is going to be public and people could come after me. More on Drive Time on this Friday here in minutes on CCO. Because if you allow jurors to be completely anonymous, you do leave open the possibility for shenanigans, right? People who lie to get on a jury. Maybe people with an interest in the case that you'd never really be able to expose unless you knew who the jurors were. Certainly in a Trump case, I think about this. It's like, man, would I want to be on a jury judging Donald Trump at all? Dan, you and I talked about this a little bit the other day,
yeah,
where you had... You said you didn't think you would be able to be objective.
Just in the sense that I've heard way too much about the case.
Yeah,
how do you separate
you know what's, too much about the case.
What's going on in the courtroom versus what, you know, what I've heard and read and studied and all the stuff in the media. So just in preparation for the show, it just would make me a bad juror.
Yeah.
And
let's see what Jim and I – oh, go ahead.
Oh, and, I mean, just to your question, I mean, the way that that you've seen people be outed, the way people have been attacked on social media, had cable news hosts go after him. No way would I want to be anywhere near being part of this jury.
Right. I mean, someone's going to come after you. Like, no matter what the verdict is someone going to come to one of these people's houses? Probably.
I mean, I would guess, right?
651-461-9226. Jim and Isanti is first up on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Jim, what do you think about this? Would you want to be on a high profile jury like this?
Well, actually, Jason, I mean, I want to say thank you because I appreciate your effort and I've followed you since you were on WCCO TV.
Thank you, Jim.
And I enjoy your camaraderie. But yes, I live in Isanti and I'm going to be 70 years old this year. And I've had the privilege of serving on the federal court jury duty in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm looking actually out the garage right now. I'm looking at the plaque that I was awarded for participating. And I feel that it's not only your duty, but I was amazed at the people that have interest in this. And I told the judge, I said, hey, I said, if you want me to be a full-time juror, I'm there. I'm your man. I will do it.
Yeah, my mom served on a federal court on a grand jury in Chicago, and she had to do it for, I think it was a month, and she loved it and hated it, right? Like, it was, you get exposed to some of the types of cases, but it was very educational, and I think it gives you a new respect for inside the system. I just worry about, like, how crazy people are at, you know, the fact that people disagree with an opinion and come after a juror, you know?
It's crazy, and it will happen. I mean, let's face it, this is America. With America broadening into the horizon that we're going into now, who knows what our fate should be. And that's why we have to be aware of that.
Yeah, good point. Jim, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening and the nice words. I appreciate that. 651-461-9226. Lots of text coming in on the stylesfinancial.com text line. Jason, the fact a guy started himself on fire today outside the building would make me think twice about exposing myself. Yeah. I don't know what the right way to do this is, right? I do think juries should be anonymous, and maybe you make it maybe in 6 months after the verdict. You say, okay, then we could make it exposed. We'll talk about how it worked out during the Chauvin trial. Love your input. Do you think jurors should be anonymous? And how do you feel about being on a jury of a high-profile case right now? We have a state trooper who has been charged with his culpability, kind of an unintentional homicide, something like that, second-degree homicide. That will be a very high-profile case. Would you want to be on that jury? I don't know, man. I'm hesitant if everything about me is going to be public and people could come after me. More on Drive Time on this Friday here in minutes on CCO. And you have, I mean, this is how crazy the world is. A dude literally set himself on fire today outside the courtroom. Do we know why? No. But that gives me second thought. That's for sure. It's 3:30. It's Friday. Hey, big Drive Time today. We have, we've got some major prize action for Card D Sharks coming up at 4:05. So make sure you stick around for that. Next, though, it's Dan Cook's Time to Shine here on a Friday with Three Disasters and Puppies coming up on CCO.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's Friday afternoon. One of our favorite newer segments. Dan scours the internet, searching for the really stories that make you feel like we're just like a breath away from absolute destruction as a society.
Yeah.
And then, one story to redeem things involving puppies.
Which is interesting because today I really only had to go back to about Thursday to find more disaster stories. It's one of those weeks it's not difficult to locate disastrous stories. So we'll start, Jason.
I like a good disaster, as you know. I tend to prefer the disaster stories to the puppies.
Yeah, yeah. This segment does not bring out the best in you. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right out of the gate. Of all the segments
I like that. Let's go. Let's get into disaster number one.
Disaster number one. You probably heard about this yesterday, but the Sacramento International Airport experienced major flight delays after an AT&T cable was deliberately slashed, cutting off internet service to at least two major airlines. The outage, which temporarily halted check-in services primarily for Southwest and Delta Airlines, occurred just before 1:20 a.m., disrupting flights for several hours. The Southwest terminal, hundreds of people waited in long lines to check in before internet service was restored and normal operations resumed on a Thursday afternoon. Service team had determined that the cable about 2.5 miles from the airport had been, quote, cut intentionally. A spokesman for the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office said that the cable, which is about the width of a garden hose, well, there's maybe part of your problem, and attached to a telephone pole, there's another part of your problem, had been cleanly slashed in one place about 4 or 5 feet from the ground in a manner that he said appeared to be, quote, very precise and very targeted. It's not like it was some loose hanging wire, he added. It required some level of knowledge and or expertise to know what to cut and how to do it. And of course, authorities say they do not have a suspect while they're looking through video footage. Here's another thought. Maybe have a backup system so your whole airport doesn't shut down if somebody cuts one wire.
Yeah, it's just we just get the internet. I mean, Larry over in IT ordered the internet, and they just ran a cable. It's good to go.
Goodness gracious.
It is amazing. And here, you know, Dan Cook, you like acting like this airport. Think of this radio station. Like, you could probably shut this thing down pretty easy, right?
Jason, shush.
Oh, sorry.
Shush.
It is
interesting. No, we have many redundancies here to keep us afloat if something would happen. I don't know what you mean. Why would you say that?
Well, I'm sure we do. I don't know.
Speaking of things that shouldn't be able to be shut down quite as easily as apparently they were, disaster number two.
Okay.
The installation of a light pole.
Pretty clever, though. You got to give it up for these for the cord cutters.
Yeah, well,
they say cord cutting is.
I don't know that you do. The installation of a light pole apparently is to blame for a mass outage across at least four states that disrupted 911 service for hours, according to officials. Mm. At this point, the FCC says, at this point, we understand that the outage affected Nevada, Texas, South Dakota, and Nebraska. It began Wednesday night and lasted for at least 2 hours in some of the states, according to information from the commission, as well as city and state leaders. Lumen Global Issues Director Mark Molzen told USA Today that the states experienced an outage due to a third-party company installing a light pole that it said was, quote, unrelated to our services. Lumen is the company that provides 911 services.
Wasn't us.
No. Quote, we restored all services in approximately 2.5 hours. Our techs identified the issue and worked hard to fix it as quickly as possible. We apologize for the inconvenience and appreciate our customers' patience and understanding.
What's this guy's title again?
He is the Global Issues Director.
I mean, if you as a company have so many problems, you need to hire a Global Issues Director.
Maybe you shouldn't be handling 911 service. The guy having a heart attack doesn't care that you got it back up in 2.5 hours there. Chief, come on.
Yeah. Our systems are hanging by a thread.
Oh.
And all of these companies are relying on third-party services.
Yeah. I don't know. Larry over there said he handled it. It was fine. Yeah.
Should that be the name of our podcast, like a separate podcast for this show, Third Party Services? Then we just have someone to blame at all times.
Who do we want to be our third party? Harrigan?
No, we would need a third party.
Let's just make it Harrigan. Why not?
Sure. He's got little work to do.
Exactly. It's not like he has a lot to handle on that show. Okay.
All right. The power's back on. South Dakota's back.
Yeah, the 911 is back. You know, you're not going to die, hopefully, if you have to call 911. Call will go through. Disaster number three. Of course, we're all aware of the forthcoming horde of cicadas that are going to swarm and take over everywhere.
Cicadas?
Cicadas. All right.
Cicadas. Yeah.
Okay, Captain Biology. Here we go. When the trillions of periodical cicadas emerge in multiple Midwestern and Southeastern states next month, they will face a unique predator with murderous intent. That's right. It's the cicada killer wasps. Cicada killer wasps, also known as the eastern cicada killer or cicada hawks. Mm. A bug.
Which would you choose? If you were in charge of naming yourself,
you gotta go with the
killer wasps.
Cicada hawk, of course.
Yeah, the cicada hawk.
They are a species of the large digger wasp that preys on cicadas. This is bad news for the two broods that are set to emerge in mid to late May in a number of states in a double brood event that hasn't happened since 1803.
Well, why is this that bad? How long do cicadas live under normal circumstances?
Cicada killer wasps are also known to sting humans and screw up your lawn.
Oh.
That's why.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Screw up my lawn?
Okay, lawn influencer, here you go.
Now you've got my attention.
The wasps are about 2 inches long, according to the Smithsonian, and are black or dark brown with a colorful yellow marking on their abdomen. They're solitary wasps, according to the Smithsonian, but they can disturb lawns with their burrows, and they will sting if they are bothered. They don't generally attack people, but are very territorial around their underground nests. Their underground nests or the males are around females. So don't mess with the killer wasps coming for the cicadas. No. That are going to swarm over the entire country.
Well, we're not really getting these cicadas, right?
I mean,
is that correct?
We're not in the target zone, but
we're not in the zone.
Is this like the eclipse where we get like 75% of them or something? I don't know.
No, I think
they fly and swarm all over them. I mean, you don't know.
Yeah,
they don't have GPS. They don't know where they're going.
People are going to be so freaked out.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure they don't. That it's going to be in Wisconsin, Illinois, not here.
Okay,
I think.
Okay. Let me know that when the wasps are burrowing in your lawn, okay?
Hey, cicadas only live for like a couple of months, right?
Sure. Again, let me know how much a couple of months is when they're with the wasps are burrowing in your yard with the cicada corpses.
Not great.
Not good.
All right. Those are three disasters.
So you know what that means? That means it is time, Jason, for some puppies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're aware, of course, that that Monday was the Boston Marathon.
Yes. Yeah.
But what you didn't know is that on Sunday, hundreds of golden retrievers gathered to celebrate Spencer, the golden retriever named the official dog of the Boston Marathon.
Oh, my gosh.
And the impact that the late dog had on the famous race. Yes,
Spencer. Now you just tricked me. Oh, now you killed the dog and you make me seem like a monster.
I really don't have to work that hard, Jason. I'm going to be honest with you. Spencer began showing up at the marathon in 2013 after the Boston Marathon bombing to encourage runners during a difficult year for the event.
How nice of Spencer to decide to step up.
Stop it now. Yeah. He became known nationwide in 2018 when he showed up in the pouring rain holding Boston Strong flags in his mouth to show his support for the soaking wet runners.
It was his idea.
It was, totally was. The Boston Athletic Association declared Spencer the official dog of the Boston Marathon in 2022. The Golden Retriever became known among marathon attendees
after
the
world. Was diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Would you let me finish the story before you just dump all over the dog? Heaven's sake. He became known among marathon attendees for showing up on race day at his favorite spot in Ashland, Massachusetts, rain or shine, to cheer on runners and take photos with his fans. Yes, the dog was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in 2020, but he still provided people with encouragement through the pandemic on social media. One of the dog's owners, Rich Powers, announced Spencer's death in February of 2023. So Sunday's meetup included a social hour for hundreds of golden retrievers whose owners bought yellow bandanas that said Boston Strong in honor of the Boston Strong flags that Spencer would carry in his mouth to cheer on the runners. And part of the proceeds from the sales went to support canine cancer research. God bless Spencer. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Dunk on the dog. Go ahead.
Well, it's not the
dog dies of cancer. He's out there supporting runners in the Boston Marathon. How are you going to turn this into a bad story? Come on.
I mean, like, this poor dog, like, the clock's ticking on his life, and his stupid owner is like, we got to get out there.
No, we got to
get to the marathon.
Spencer was there to support the runners, Jason.
Oh, my gosh.
Provide encouragement.
How much did this owner, like, make on whatever the Instagram? There's a statue.
Why do you have to go to the worst in humankind to say that that was what was going on? The poor dog is out there with cancer.
Some of these news stories, they talk about his own. The owner is quoted as his dad, Spencer's dad.
I mean, you've
Rich
heard
Powers.
Dog moms, cat moms. Why can't
it
be a dog dad?
Ugh. I mean, it's so nice.
I hope Spencer is resting in peace
through
in doggy
his own
heaven
challenges
and looking down on you
so
and
much,
just shaking his head.
So much to the rest of us. Ugh. Thanks, Dan. That's three disasters and puppies. When we come back, I want to settle an issue that I was struggling with at lunch yesterday. Tots or fries? You're sitting there at the restaurant. They're like, tots or fries? I want them both. Pick a side. Tots or fries? 651-461-9226. Drive time. Back on a Friday in a minute. The answer is tots, right? If it's tots, fries, it should be tots. Tots are always superior, I think. 651-461-9226. Tots or fries was the question that I was faced with at the Lowry. I was getting the turkey burger. And, like, I don't eat a lot of fries, Dan. I don't eat a lot of tots. But tots are the superior potato fried item, aren't they?
I would agree, and I don't honestly think it's even that close. I don't oppose the French fry. I will consume them.
I like a fry.
Yeah, I will consume them without any hesitation. Yeah. But if offered the choice, I don't have to think about it for more than a couple of seconds.
Yeah, especially if there's no upcharge, right? Like if it's $2 more for tots, are you going to pay?
Yes.
I'll think about it, and I might.
Yeah.
Because I like a tot.
I don't think I'd even hesitate. Give me the upcharge.
You just go for it. What is it
right
like?
Sucker
being
on my
so
forehead.
Wealthy.
That's fine.
Just so wealthy.
Oh come on!
You're like
stop.
Just $2, throwing money around.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Now Gary texts in at 651-461-9226 and says it's way too broad of a question because it depends what kind of fries, and it depends if the tots are baked or fried, and are they seasoned. So these were unseasoned, pretty basic tots. I do like, I like a seasoning. I like, you know, I got to put my own salt on. I do appreciate that control. Fries, I do like the like little crunchy, I don't know what you call those. You know what I'm talking about?
The
like
little shoestring ones?
Yep, the little shoestring ones are good. I like all potato fried related items. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But see, do you think this is a Minnesota thing, though? It's like tater tot hot dish related?
That's a good question. I guess I don't know.
I don't know.
But I would disagree with what Gary said. I don't think it, seasoning, don't season them, whatever. It doesn't,
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Tots are superior, period.
What if you introduce onion rings? Where do you go?
I'm not a really big onion ring guy, so that doesn't really...
Onion ring is a big... It's a hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
Card D-Sharks coming up after the news. Card D-Sharks, call with a chance to win right now, 651-461-9226.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball Isn't Boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.